Hi, I'm Melissa.
And I'm Mel.
Girl, let me tell you, I only had maybe a little less than half of that drink.
When you're drinking, you just gotta drink more.
I have a strongly worded email.
Actually, that feels in line, though.
That is not true! That,
no, listen. And every now and again, when somebody get out of line, you just yell, pop the trunk.
I'm the juice to her gin. Did we hit record?
Is it working? Is it on?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Gin and Juice Podcast. My name is Melissa.
My name is Mel.
Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and all of that jazz. We want to thank our sponsors.
We do indeed. And that is Hungry Root, Masterclass, Prize Picks, and Cure Hydration.
You make sure you get that Cure Hydration. You hear me?
You need that.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
All right, here we go. So I hope you guys had a wonderful holiday. We're going to start with... long story short, where we kind of catch you up on all of the things that's happened over the course of the last couple weeks since we haven't seen you guys. This is our first episode back since 2025. So, Mel, how was your holiday break? What did you do? And also, you went to on a, I'm about to say a cruise, child. You went to a court.
Before the break?
No, after during the after the break.
Oh, just now?
Yeah, in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. I did. I went to Dirk's hearing. Dirk, the Chicago rapper who is going to be having a federal trial, a murder for hire trial, just went to his hearing about a week or so ago, and his trial date got moved. It was supposed to be starting this month. That's what I've been waiting to figure out, if it's actually going to start, but it just got moved. I was going to say, oh, you know what? I was going to talk about this on The Debrief, the other podcast I do, because... Let me tell you what's really an interesting thing to realize. When there are six defendants, as there are in this case, it's Dirk plus five. And what's been happening is I've been going to most, I've attended almost all of his hearings.
Mm-hmm.
The defendants, the six people, it's now been four people mm-hmm. only. And the motions have started being four people and not the other two. And so at the last hearing I went to back in November, I was in there, and the things that the attorneys were saying, what became very evident, right, from the prosecutors is that somebody's has snitched. Somebody has become a state witness. And so the moment when you're like, oh, it sounds like somebody, like they have a cooperate. Oh, there's only four people. Oh, I see what's happening here. Like that happened, and it's like, oh, so this is going to be interesting.
Ooh.
So, and then every time the defense would say things about the people, they would be like, the prosecutors would cut them off because mm-hmm. they, you know, for the safety of those people, yeah, they want to make sure they're protected, blah, blah, blah. But it's very, very clear that there are at least two cooperating witnesses, and there's only been four people filing motions and four people attending the hearings, and there's two people who are missing, so you can connect the dots. So anyway, that's going to be happening, I think he said in April 21st or 28th. So I'll be going to that trial when it starts.
That's going to be juicy.
It's going to be scary, but juicy. Other than that, the break was good. You had...
oh, let me see, mama.
Oh, Liz got me, Monique, and my mom. She got us all... What are these called?
They're the charm bracelets from Pandora.
Pandora bracelets. She got us all those. And so me and Monique's, and Liz has one that says sisters. And then I think you got one for mom.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
And it's become my favorite thing. It's like such a fun, cute, dainty little bracelet. Yeah,
it's so cute on your jewelry situation.
So I'll let you talk about the amazing multi-day Christmas event that was held.
Yes. So we did Grinchmas. Yes. And if you're on our Patreon, you know that we have a giveaway coming. As soon as I figure out how to give y'all, as soon as I figure out how to ship all of these ornaments that I have and stuff to you without everything shattering, that will be coming, because I'm going to do several giveaways, probably at least three. But it'll be all the ornaments at my house plus some other like random stuff. And the ornaments at Mel's house will probably be an additional giveaway. And then I'll do a local giveaway for like bean bags and I can't remember all of the stuff that's in my garage, but like the stuff that I'm just absolutely not going to ship a beanbag. It's just too heavy and I'm not going to do that to myself. So I'll do a local giveaway. All of that to say, we did Grinchmas this year and it was so much fun. Everything turned out really, 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 really amazing. And, you know, I think I just realized that I can do these things. Mm. I think that was like, mm-hmm. I was like kind of stressing that we were going to run out of food, that there wasn't going to be, like my house wasn't big enough to see everybody. Mm-hmm. Like I had a lot of like little nagging anxiety concerns. And because I want everything to be like perfect in my mind and it's either perfect or like it really wasn't good. I realize that's just like the extreme of who I am. And so I had like, you know, again, just a lot of anxiety about like how I was going to be able to pull all of this off. We did the game night, which was the chili day. Mel made chili. My sister.
I didn't make chili.
You didn't make chili?
I was supposed to make chili, but I was my hair appointment day.
So who made chili? Karen made chili. Dad's wife made chili. Tab made chili. Thank you.
Everybody else.
Yeah. And so
a lot of chili.
Yeah, there was a lot of chili, but we didn't run out of chili. Mm-hmm. That was nice. And we had all of the sides. And then Mel's friend actually does like a Christmas brunch, chicken and waffles brunch. Mm-hmm. And so me being me was like, I should do that as well. And so that was the 23rd. So the 24th, I was like, we're going to do a chicken and waffles brunch. I don't know why I thought this was a brilliant idea, but that also meant all of the cooking for that fell on me. Well, majority of it fell on me. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I don't know why I did this. I think this is so stupid. I don't know. I'm going to be able to pull all of this off. Like I was like really stressed about that. And then on the 25th, again, we have Christmas dinner. So it was like 3 days of like really intense cooking for, you know, 50-ish people plus or minus, depending on the day. And so I was legit like, I think I bit off more than I can chew. I don't think I'm going to be able to pull this off. I'm not quite sure that I'm going to be able to cook for all of these people. And what if it's not good? Like I like just a lot of, you know, just nagging thoughts. And then at the end, I literally was like, girl, you really did it.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
You really, really, really did it. The chili, everyone loved the chili. The waffles, I ended up making a vanilla paste. Mm-hmm. And we put that inside of the waffles. It was so good. Mm-hmm. The waffles were so, so good. I forgot to have Mel or Greg take out the chicken because I had it at her house. Oh, I have more space in my refrigerator. So I ended up like trying to brine it that morning. I woke up super early to brine it, but the chicken ended up being okay. And there was eggs and there was waffles and there was just everything going on and all of these drinks and Mel made drink. It was just a lot going on. And then I turned around and made Christmas dinner essentially. And majority of that fell on me, but not all of it. I'm not saying I did everything. Like Mel cooked, Kevin's grandmother and his aunt cooked and his cousin cooked. Karen cooked a little bit, but like the hard stuff was at my house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely at my house. So anyway, all of that to say it went really, really well. I was really, really excited about it. The decor and everything was just, I mean, Natalie just knocks it out of the park. Yeah. Natalie's the event planner that I've used since the vow renewal. So she did that. She did Christmas last year. She did Christmas this year. And she just like takes what I see in my head and then adds her own like vision and inspiration and just amplifies it, like truly just amplifies it. There were a couple things. I knew I wanted to do the movie night. I knew I wanted Fredericksville instead of the Whoville. I knew I wanted the hanging ornaments and all of that. But like the setup of it all, that's like all her, you know. She lets me know obviously with our meetings, but like I don't want to take away from the fact that like she is the designer of mm-hmm. these things. And it just, I have no complaints. It really, really, really went really, really well. The food was amazing. I just texted Amon, our friend, Kita's husband. Well, Amon's our friend too, from high school. And I was like, you remember when we killed Christmas? And he was like, we did do that. I texted him literally like 2 days ago because he made these green beans that went
so
quick, fast, and in a hurry. And then he injected the ham and the turkey. So they weren't dry. It was just, you know, it just makes me really warm and fuzzy doing things like that. Like it really, really does make me really, really happy. And knowing that everyone had a good time, the kids had a good time, the memories were created, and just the, you know, just the event itself. Like I really had a good time. I was very proud of myself. You I was very been. Proud of myself because I know I like stress early on, and like I'm always like, oh my God, like I have to do all these things, and like, you know, my sister was calling me extra, and I'm just like, I am doing too much. I really am extra. But then to do it, I'm finna start telling y'all thank you. You say extra, I'm gonna be like, thank you. Because every time I always do it.
Yes.
So I always do it. So at this point, it's a compliment because I don't never not do what I say I'm gonna do. 100%. I always do it. So period, girl, period. I was very, very like at the end, I literally had to sit myself down and was like, you literally did it. All of the fear, all of the anxiety, everything, you didn't have to worry. You literally did it. And that made me like really proud of myself. So anyway,
as you should have,
that was great.
It was.
Yeah.
It was good. And actually, I want to take the time now to tell you about the first sponsor, just because we talked a lot about the stress of cooking for family, for the holidays, for everybody. It is very stressful. Liz did it, obviously. But as the week, as the year amps back up, life starts to lifing again. And, you know, you are a parent and a partner and a creator or an employee. You got all the things happening. I want to tell you about Hungry Root, because it's been such a great game changer for saving me time, reducing my stress, to do all of my weekly food shopping with Hungry Root. So Hungry Root plans all of my meals and groceries for the week, fills my cart, and delivers everything I need to eat healthy every day, all while fitting my health goals, dietary preferences, and budget. Hungry Root holds all of its food to high standards, which is also really important because, you know, the experience of like wanting particular foods, fresh foods maybe, and it's not exactly the one you would have picked. But Hungry Root holds all of its food to high standards, screening out over 200 additives, including high fructose corn syrup, artificial sweeteners, and preservatives. They source only high quality meat and seafood with no hormones or antibiotics, offer organic produce and non-GMO options, and carry trusted healthy brands like Oatly, Vital Farms, Ithaca Hummus, Harmless Harvest, and many, many more. So we are back from the break, and I actually am waiting for my newest Hungry Root order to deliver, because I knew that I was about to be stressed out with trying to get back in the rhythm of things. McKinley just went back, and Micaiah yesterday, Monday, the 12th, versus like a lot of people went back on the 5th, but they just went back and we got back in town. So I went on and kind of set up my Hungry Root order. So all of my stuff is coming, and I am looking forward to it being there, being at my house, so that I can kind of get things back in order and enjoy some lovely meals without the stress of having to plan those meals. So you're going to love Hungry Root as much as I do. For a limited time, get 40% off of your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life. Go to hungryroot.com/GJ and use code GJ. That's hungryroot.com/GJ, code GJ, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life.
Okay, so that's really it. We then just quickly went to Sweden, went to Barcelona. That was great. It was cold, but I think I'm over cold Christmases officially. Every year I'm like, I want to experience Christmas and I want it to be cold. Let's go someplace cold. And then you realize living in LA, you're never going to be cold prepared.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing in LA you can get for like the cold that is other places that's actually cold. And so, I think I'm done with that part of my life. It was hilarious. So cute while it lasted, but like no more. I think that's it. Do you have goals this year? New year, new goals?
I usually do a little vision board just for myself. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done that. I need to. This is the thing I hate about breaks. It's hard for me to come back from a break.
Yeah.
It is hard. And I've been struggling. I also feel like there's nothing like interesting or like that's piquing my interest for like content wise. There's a bunch of trials going on, but I'm like, oh, like I heard that one before.
Yeah.
So that's probably not an appropriate thing to say, but anyway. So I haven't been in the mood. So all of that to say, I haven't made any goals, not like a written down goals. I have like social media goals. Like I reached a lot of my goals last year, which was amazing. And so now I have like, you know, the next set,
yeah.
But nothing like specific.
Got it.
You do?
Got it. I probably need to make specific goals. I haven't sat down and done that. I don't know that I will either. I'm kind of debating, but I think the word, whatever that I have to myself until I figure out the specifics is simply honoring the word that I give to myself, like the promise that I make to myself. Mm. I negotiate with myself a lot. Mm-hmm. I negotiate with myself a lot. And so I'll say I'll do X and then negotiate or excuse my way out of it.
Got it.
And so I simply want to like honor the commitment that I make to myself, or like if I say I'm going to do something, and even if no one is watching, it's just simply like I'm an accountability person. If I know someone is going to be there, I have to show up for someone else. I'll never not.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to just me, it's just the audience of me.
Yeah.
It'd be a little bit harder for me to show up for me.
Got it.
And so I want to do that. And so drilling down to that, then I have to make promises to myself. And so that's the next step. But I know at a high level, if I say I'm going to do it, big or small, I want to ensure that I do it for no other reason than I said,
yeah,
I am going to do it.
Got it.
So that's what I'm kind of just working on, I think, this year. One of the things that's been really helpful is that I'm still jet lag, oddly enough. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it's been so difficult for me to get back into regular routine. But one of the things I like about it is that I've been getting up super early, but I've been getting up early and I feel refreshed.
Yeah.
Not like
tired, exhausted.
Yes. Still. That's my biggest problem with getting up early. Like I just still feel like I need sleep. Like yes. I just need to lay down still. But I've been going to bed like 7:30, 8 o'clock. I know that's not going to last forever, mm-hmm. but it's been very nice. Waking up at 2:00. And I usually can, get myself out of bed, so to speak, at like 5:00. But if I get up at 2 or 3, you lay down for a couple hours doing whatever. Mm-hmm. By the time 5:00, you're like, I got to get up. Like I don't have. And so I feel fine. And that's been really, really, really helpful. So I'm kind of waiting for the adjustment period to happen because I'm like, okay, that's when it's really going to be like,
yeah.
You said you're going to do this. So are you going to continue to do this? So we'll see. So anyway, that's it. That's all for that. Do you want to go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say unrelated, but the other thing that I did was I went to a friend from college, got married. So we went to Atlanta and went to her wedding. Which was amazing and fun and great to see, her. It's so funny because after college, like 20s, some of my friends got married, right? And so we went to those weddings, and now here we are like 10 plus years later, and like other friends are like, now it's like a second wave of people getting married who didn't get married in their 20s. And so it's like it's just so funny because we're all tired, you know, it's like we're not the 20-year-olds that we were 10 years ago. So we're at the wedding like, this is great. Also, like, what time is it? Oh, we're all going to bed after this. Nobody's trying to like go to the after party. Yeah. We're just like, this was great. Also, flying into town for someone's wedding felt like the most adult thing I've done in a long time, because like you have money to fly into town just to see these people
get married and then bounce.
And then you're going to go back home. Like they really mean that much to you. And so it was cool to be able to do that and see her. The couple, she has a little girl, a 1-year-old.
Yeah, oh,
she'll
she
be,
older.
Mm-hmm. She'll be, no. So her second baby is actually due. So her first daughter, her name is Kennedy. Kennedy was born on June 9th. And the second baby is due June 13th. And it's another girl. I said exactly 2 years, huh?
Yeah.
But anyway, so a part of their wedding she was the flower girl. She looked adorable, but they played, Gracie's Corner. Do you know Gracie's Corner? No. They played Gracie's Corner.
That's adorable.
So you could tell that's the little girl's jam too. So she was just it was freaking adorable.
Such a good idea.
It was so cute. But anyway, it was a great time. Which led me to, again, this is a little random and sporadic, but you know what I realized is the internet, follow me. The internet has created long-lasting relationships with people that would otherwise not exist. And I think we got to go back to that. So follow me. You ever go to an event, a one-time event, somebody's bachelorette party, somebody's wedding, some random event.
I know where you're going.
And because you maybe have taken a picture with that person or whatever, you now are posting and now you friended them on the internet because you want to tag them. And now 10 years later, you're still friends with the random person you sat next to at a friend's wedding 10 years ago who's now divorced. But yet you are still, now you know this random person has gotten married, has had two kids, you know their birthday. You're telling them happy birthday. Like, it's so random. And it's like, I don't want
actually
to
know you.
I don't know you. I actually don't even want to continue this fake, we don't have to be friends. And I just feel like the internet like forces you into this relationship that you feel like you can't get out of. They don't get out of it, but you don't even know them. And I just want to unfriend people that I met one time and will never probably interact with them ever again. Like, I wish them the best, but honestly, I just, in my mind, I'm like, is that going to be, it's not rude to unfriend people, is it?
They'll probably be offended if you were. But you know what is so funny? I was having this discussion with myself about the three of us, me, Monique, and Melanie, me and my sisters. And I was like, have you seen, this is another follow me, have you seen those videos, and it'll be like sisters or whomever, and it's like, looks mad, but is nice, actually will bite you, or looks harmless, but is not, doesn't look harmless, but actually is, and this one will actually bite you, something along those lines. And I was trying to figure out where we all fit. I actually think that you are talks not harmless, but is actually harmless. And I think I am actually talks harmless, but actually harmful on accident. And then Monique is actually, she will fight you.
I think that, you know what, here's what I'm gonna say. I don't disagree. The truth of the matter is, the reckless period of my life, you were just not around for. And so, yes, but also,
you've evolved past that.
I've come a long way. And not that I was like crazy, but like I could get crazy. Like I would love Les Shanann again. Like that was, and so I am not.
This evolution of you, who are you actually? I've already been there, done that.
I've been there, done that. I also don't care. So maybe it's harmless because I don't even care enough.
Well, I don't actually mean it as an insult.
No, I'm not taking it as one. Okay. I'm just saying I don't. Like, I love to see people get with other people. I think that's hilarious and great. I'm never going to get with you because I don't care. Like, in my heart, I wish all bad things for you, and I'm never going to say it out loud. I'm just going to move on about my day. Versus you, I think you can talk, you can get it across. I have never been very good at articulate. I will just yell, bitch. You will like do it intelligently and like nicely.
No, but that's not what I mean. I actually mean is that I would rather not engage. Actually, that is the truth. I would rather. So this is, listen to the full thought because you're not finna do this. I would rather actually not engage until it's time to engage. But by the time it's time to engage, I'm not always nice with the words that come out. And so I unintentionally.
I don't think it's unintentional. I think I'm similar in that way, but I don't think it's unintentional.
It is unintentional.
I don't think it's unintentional. That's not the truth.
You don't think.
Melissa, you literally tap in.
But that's what I'm
saying.
You are
tapped out until you're like, I'm tapping in and now I'm intentionally about to go
off. I'm intentionally going off, but I'm not intentionally trying to hurt you.
Well, what's the point of going off if you're not trying to hurt the person?
Because I'm actually just trying to get my point across, because now you done stroked too many times and now you done pissed me off. So now since we're here, we're here.
And I'm intentionally trying to hurt you.
No, I'm never trying to intentionally hurt you. That's not fair.
That would take the point of going off away. Literally, what's the point of going off if it's to be nice?
No, because you're misunderstanding. My intentionality is actually to ensure that my point has gotten across. But I'm not like trying to intentionally. Actually, I never really go low, to be honest. And that's what I mean by.
Remember you got out that van and hit that man's hand? What was that intentional?
Yes. Yes, it was.
So there's intention.
But that's the point that I'm making. Like, I'm sitting in the car. I'm just peeping game. I'm not finished. Y'all can.
Josh
got out the car.
Uh-huh.
Kev got out the car.
Okay.
Well, Kev was initially out the car. Josh, I don't think Mr. Driver got out at first. I think he may have got out after I got off.
He took a while.
He might have been staying out.
Oh, no, he hadn't.
He was out the whole time.
Oh, actually, I think you're.
I'll talk about our driver.
Yeah.
Our driver.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think he had been out.
Oh, I didn't realize.
He had been out, but he wasn't in, though. He was just like around.
Yes.
But he wasn't like engaged.
No, he wasn't in it.
He wasn't engaged.
No, okay. I didn't know he was out. I actually thought he came around, like, let me pause this. But my point is, it takes a lot. I just got this new oil. Let me explain who I am as a person. I got this new oil, and it's called, I don't remember what it's called. But anyway, the point is that the boiling or the burning point on the oil is high.
Okay.
So you can like saute vegetables or whatever, and it doesn't burn as easily because it takes longer for it to get to the burning point versus like regular oil, like olive oil. It has a lower. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you could be sauteing your vegetables and it'll scorch before. Okay. You understand the point I'm making. I am actually the secondary oil. I have a high boiling point. I'm not finna just go off. I'm gonna chill. I'm gonna relax. Yes. The problem is.
Yes.
That once I am there, if we're going to have a conversation, I'm going to be open and honest about the conversation. But my point is not to go low. My point is not to intentionally hurt you, but I am going to be.
Hurt you.
No, I'm going to be direct. Honest and truthful. And if that hurts you, then so be it.
Exactly.
But my point was not going in, now I'm finna just call you a B. No.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're not gonna say B. You're going to say female dog.
For the principal.
I'm going to say bitch. You're gonna be like female dog. That, but your whole point, that we're saying the same thing. I don't know why you won't own.
Yes, and.
Yes, because I agree. High boiling point, all of that. I agree. The problem is when you tap in, you are now tapping in to say what you're going to say. And it's not to be nice. It's because the whole reason you've gotten to that point is because you've taken me there. Anyway, I agree. My truth is I think I'm a little bit of you and Monique, to be truthful. I think I used to be more Monique and I have
evolved
as a person.
But I will say you're sometimes can be open and honest, direct, and that could hurt folks' feelings.
I agree with that. I'm more of that than what you're saying.
Which is why I said I'm not intentionally trying to hurt people.
No, because we're different. No. Actually, wait. Then we can move on from this because wait. Melissa, when she gets to that point, you're going in to hurt their feelings. You don't have to get me to the point. I am starting off ground zero with being open and honest, and it's not to hurt your feelings. It is to, because listen, I said this before, and it's my truth. The older I get, the more I'm like, oh, this is what they say when they say it should be like with tact. That's what they meant. The tact part has missed me for a lot of years, but what I now recognize I took literal the idea that like tough love or like you should hear it from me. I never wanted someone to be able to say this was my friend and she never told me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I took that literal.
Yeah.
But what that led me to do is to tell people things. And I didn't know the tact part. Like that's the truth for real. I have gotten into a lot of situations where my friends or people close to me, people that I love, have been like, that was rude. And I'm like, I thought this is what we were supposed to do as friends, is to be honest. So I actually think I'm more of what you're describing and you're not. That's the end.
Because what I was describing was me, and what you were trying to put on me is you, because I am not going in that way.
No, we disagree here.
Well, agree to disagree. agree to disagree. Because what I just said is the tack that I have when I am at that point still exists. I'm still not intentionally going in. I am going to be. I will patty cake around. I will say my truth, but I will patty. It won't necessarily be as transparent or as direct is probably a better word. It probably won't be as direct. But once we're at the point and I need to be direct, I will be direct. Yes. There will still be tact.
Yes.
And I'm still not trying to hurt your feelings.
We're agreeing up into the hurt the feelings part.
Girl, bye.
We're literally agreeing up until the hurt your feelings part.
I don't. Okay, girl.
Okay, you're not meaning to do it to hurt people's feelings. You're meaning to do it. Why?
To be direct, to get my point across, it's more about me than it's about you, child. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but I do want you to understand. Obviously, we're to the point where I'm like, oh, we need to talk, because all the little patty cake and trying to be nice wasn't working. So let me just be very clear and very direct. This is what's happening.
Okay. 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 I see your point. You're not meaning to hurt the feelings. You're just meaning to be clearer, because that's the before wasn't work. I wasn't clear. It wasn't working. So now let me be even clearer to you. It's not to hurt your feelings. It's to make sure you understand what I'm saying.
Correct.
And okay. What I'm saying is I start off from the beginning so that we don't have to get there. I'm going to start off very clear, but apparently I've been missing the tact the whole time. I didn't realize that. But as I've evolved, I've been trying to be more tactful. But what I've found is actually trying to be mindful of the tact has made me not be as direct as I would like to be.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't like that.
And that's
because now you are misconstrued on what I've been trying to say. And now we're dealing with the same problems for 6 months, and we could have dealt with this a long time ago.
And actually, that's what you just said is actually your mama. Fuck you, and let's move on. Then
we clear. Anyway. Speaking of tact and things that we should be getting better at, let me tell you about masterclass. There should be a masterclass on how to deal with what we are discussing. So we've talked about masterclass a lot on this podcast because there are a number of classes that I have taken and enjoyed. I just found one on dopamine. I remember being at Spelman. I forgot what class we were taking, but for the first time I learned about dopamine in college. Did you learn about it? When did you learn
dopamine?
About it?
I don't think it was in college. Oh, actually it may have been. I may have taken like a women's studies class. Yes. And it was just, there was like a hormones section.
And like understanding, they call it like the feel good hormone. And like, I feel like I was so mind blown about it. And like, when you hug someone or like all of like what that evokes in you. And like, I remember being fascinated by it. Anyway, there is a masterclass by Dr. Anna Lemke. I can't pronounce her last name. Lembke. And it's on dopamine. And because dopamine is a feel good hormone, it also has a lot to do with like addiction and kind of compulsive behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so this masterclass that she has is about helping you break compulsive behaviors, resetting your dopamine and rebuilding focus. So anyway, because I've always been fascinated by dopamine in general, I found that masterclass to be very interesting. So if you're looking for a new one, you should definitely check that one out or any of the other ones that are on masterclass. There's the Sabrina Williams one. Mm-hmm, I've talked a lot about interview skills. They have some different journalists that talk about how they interview people or just communicating, public speaking, those kinds of things. They have a ton. Even cooking. I mean, if you want a class on something, they probably have it. It's something for you to look up. So
years ago, I took a master class on how to make chocolate chip cookies. Like, no lie.
Really?
Yep. Sure. Like, there's literally
something for everybody.
Yeah, there's literally something for everybody.
Which makes sense because there is a way, like, there is a masterful way to make chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, there's a masterful way to do a ton of things. And that's what Masterclass kind of has for you. So whether it's learning how to tell a great story with Big Short and Moneyball author Michael Lewis, or spicing up your life with The Art of Sex Appeal by author and sexologist Shan Boodram, or developing good, repeatable habits with Atomic Habits author James Clear, with which Greg is actually reading right now. And so this will be a great masterclass to read afterward, right? So being able to take this class by him would be perfect. So with Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules, which is always amazing, being able to take, because everybody's living life, when you can take a quick class and do it in a maybe limited amount of time that you have, some free time that you have. Those just make things just more easily accessible for you. And Masterclass does that. So right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/GJ.
GJ.
That's 15% off at masterclass.com/GJ. Masterclass.com/GJ.
The Seahawks are doing great this season.
And now is the perfect time to tell you about the next sponsor of this podcast, and that is Prize Picks. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Whether you're starting a new routine or making player picks for the first time, trying something new can be hard, but in life and on Prize Picks, it always feels good to be right. They be switching up that feels good to be right. With high pressure playoff matchups every weekend and elite hoops actions almost every night, the action never stops, and Prize Picks lets you take control. Prize Picks is very simple to get started. Prize Picks, the app is very simple, easy to get started, and it makes watching sports, okay, if you're kind of an in and outer like I have tend to be, it makes you more engaged because now you have your picks. You're trying to see if you're going to win. You're going to see if you're going to lose. You're trying to see what how everyone else is doing. So it just makes the experience, it adds to the experience of watching sports, because now you're invested in a whole new way, which has been just a new way to watch sports for me, and like made me kind of excited in a new way. Prize Picks now has early payouts. If your player gets off to a hot start, you now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game even finishes. And we like that. If I feel like I'm feeling good and I get to cash out, I get to cash out early, this feels great. And so that's one of their new features. They also, with the new social feeds feature, you can share Prize Picks with your friends and copy lineups from winners with a single click. We like that. If you was winning, I should absolutely copy what you did. Copy lineups you like or use them as inspiration for your own picks. You can even follow Prize Picks partners like us and tail or fade our picks with just one click. So if you, like I was saying, Prize Picks gives you kind of a new angle or a new kind of investment into watching the sports. And so if you're still a little unsure, this new feature allows you to copy lineups from other people who have already won or get inspired by what they, maybe you take and pick and choose and take from here, pull from here. So that's another feature that they have that can just kind of help you as you're going along the Prize Picks journey. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code GJ to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code GJ to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good to be right.
All right. We're going to move on to, did you see that Drewski video?
I did.
Do you have thoughts that you're prepared to talk about?
Sure. I think it's hilarious. I think it's really funny that people are calling him an anthropologist, and I think that's appropriate. Anthropologist.
Atheist?
I don't know.
A blasphemous? I don't know.
What is the word I'm trying to think of? I think it is an anthropologist.
Like culturally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I would agree. Okay.
Yeah. My brain went wrong for a minute, but it's right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, then let's go for it.
Yeah. I think it's appropriate. I think he's hilarious. Obviously, a lot of people, the internet is exhausting and everyone's going to have something to say, blah, blah, blah. Oh my gosh. He's making fun of God. He didn't even make fun of God. He made fun of people. And if the glove don't fit, you must, if that don't affect you, if that ain't your pastor, then don't just move on. Like, I don't, I think people take things too serious.
There is, I think it was Lecrae on social media. He made like a little post. I think it was Lecrae. Let me make sure. I'm going to summarize what he said, but it's worth the read, to be completely honest with you, because I thought what he said was actually, oh no. Oh, I think it's gone, or maybe it wasn't Lecrae. So let me just summarize what I thought I saw on Lecrae's page. And that is this, that essentially, and maybe this is what you mean by anthropologists, actually, what Drewski did was reflect back mm-hmm. in a comedic, exaggerated way, obviously, but there's truth there about mega church culture, mm-hmm. pastors of mega church. That is not a reflection of God. Mm-hmm. What he did, he's not making fun of God.
Right.
He's making fun of people.
Yeah.
And the reason why it kind of like resonates is because it's true.
It's true.
And I think the same way that as Black Americans, that, you know, something that I actually believe holds true, and it makes a stark difference between being like a white American and a Black American, is that part of being a Black American is being able to critique this country to better service us, mm-hmm. because we are citizens and have ownership rights to this land. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we hold church so precious that it can go without necessary critique. Mm-hmm. I think that there are things that we do as people, because we are flawed people, that deserves to be critiqued. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And to hold a pastor as if they are beyond reproach is esteeming them to a position of God. And that's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
That's a problem.
Agreed.
So, yeah, I don't necessarily. I think if you can't say amen, say ouch.
Hello. Come on. Not you in church.
Okay. and then figure out why there is so much like theatrics and all of these things, and that's what he, because y'all, be for real, y'all see some of these clips.
Well, but, and you know what the thing is, every time he does a video, people have been able to find the original inspiration that he is taking it mm-hmm, from. Mm-hmm. So like, there was a video, I forgot which one it was, but he has the same outfit on. So somebody took this video and compared it to the pastor he was like. So he's not making it up. Yes, on the things in the at the church. Yes, it's, he didn't make it up. He is
reflecting it back.
It's reflect, that's the anthropologist side. He is taking note of what's happening in society. So anyway, I think it's hilarious. I think that kind of stuff is hilarious. And I, oh well.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah. I think the church can be, you know, I think we can be very precious about the church, and we can get very precious about our pastors and our leadership, and very protective. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's a bad thing, right?
You'll get mauled by some she bears.
And I think that's the reason why. You know, that's the scripture that came to my mind.
That's the scripture.
You know, that's the scripture that came to my mind.
The men of God, women of God, you get mauled by some she bears.
Come on.
What book is that in?
Let me see. Not the misunderstood story of bear attacks. A bald. I don't want. Just tell me where it's at. Is it in Kings?
It says Kings. Second Kings. Describing the prophet, because that's when you learned about Elijah and Elisha.
Correct.
Describing the prophet Elisha being mocked by a group of young people who called him baldy as he traveled to Bethel. He cursed them, and two she bears came out of the woods and tore 42 of them to pieces, serving as a severe warning against disrespecting God's prophets and his authority, with interpretations suggesting that the youths were a rebellious gang rather than small children, and their mockery was a grave offense against God. So the story we always been told is that when you speak against the man and women of God, you'll get mauled by some she bears.
And we be holding that.
Yes, we do.
Okay. And I just don't think that there's necessarily anything wrong. I mean, this is a very nuanced conversation, right?
100%.
Like, at a very high level, what I am saying is that, you know, the church as an institution with people that are flawed and sometimes can do things that are self-serving and not necessarily a reflection of God and not necessarily what God has put on their heart, but sometimes what they want to do. Like it's okay to critique those people. It's going to be okay. I think that we can do those things. I think secondarily though, I do think that these conversations, because they are so nuanced, that, you know, you have to be careful about your platform and how that you do them. Drewski, by the way, he's just a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not putting that on him, that he needs to be careful about how he does it. No. I'm saying, as the body of Christ, if we're saying, I should sit with this a little bit about with Drewski, and then maybe you need to have these conversations in your church about, why do we feel a way about this? Like, what is this saying? Are we doing this right? Are we reflecting God appropriately out to the church? Like, I mean, out to the world. These are conversations I do think need to happen and have. And there's nothing wrong with that. Even when I think about, you know, I just did a video actually with Kev the other day. And at the end of the video, I was like, Kev was like, are you going to post that? You know, cause Kev is always for the joke. And I was like, you know what? I don't think I am. I haven't posted it. And the reason why, especially after that girl got divorced, tell me her name again, Mel.
Christy Sarah.
Thank you, Joe. When I tell you this, the brain fog, let me just do a real quick aside, and I'm gonna come back to Christy Sarah. Christy Sarah? Mm-hmm. Okay. The other day, I could not think of the space in front of your garage. It's called a parking space.
Driveway.
It's called a driveway.
It's called a parking space.
Okay, well, good.
People park there.
I was up at 2 a.m. because I have jet lag, and I don't know why. My brain was like, what is this space called right outside my garage? A parking space? I could not think of the word driveway clearly.
Go to bed.
Until Joseph. I couldn't go to bed. I was just up really trying to imagine what is this word. And clearly I didn't get it because the word is driveway. Anyway, back to Christy Sarah. I don't want people, what happens a lot of times on the internet, especially with internet couples or anytime you're displaying something on the internet, right? Number one, we always have to remember, I want the public to remember this. Everyone in the video knows that the camera is on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You're not capturing real life moments. Yeah. Even if it starts as a real life moment, at some point someone says, stop, I'm turning on my camera.
Yes, yeah.
So we're all aware that the camera is on. That's number one. Number two, a lot of times people, when the cameras, the version of themselves that they're presenting is a amped up version, a polish. And sometimes it's just an exaggerated version of themselves. And you play characters online.
Yeah.
So we have to be really careful about assigning, you know, I see these takes about this couple and it's like, I mean, this girl was like, she sought validation from the outside world. He sought validation from her only. She wanted to be famous. He just wanted to be a husband. I'm like, are you their therapist?
Right. How do you know?
Have you had intimate conversations with these people, or are you taking what they've displayed online, which again is often a character or an exaggeration at the very least of what happens in their home? So again, going back to Kevin and I, we made this video and we're into the character. I'm, you know, I can do black wife really well. Mm-hmm. I am a black wife.
Hello.
And a lot of times what I'm feeling and what happens on the video is a version of what I've said behind closed door. But when the camera is on,
turn it up.
I'm turning it up.
Yeah.
I'm ensuring to capture the essence of what it means as a stereotype, who I am, but also an exaggerated version to ensure the laugh is there. Y'all know what I mean. We've all know this person. It's all very, we get it, right? That's not who I am all of the time.
Right.
And so to assume that that's who I am all of the time and then draw an assessment of who I am is wild.
Is weird. It's weird.
Weird.
People got to stop being weird. You don't know these people. You don't. The same way that we don't know you, she don't know you. And the truth of the matter is, the reality is some of your closest friends, the people who do engage with you in real life, they don't even be knowing all your business like that. And they be making assumptions and sometimes they be off too. So like, it's just weird to just be on the line online and drawing all these conclusions from people who have been getting checks for videos.
Literally.
They're getting paid. You, everybody's like, his laugh and she had, they're getting checks.
Literal checks.
Checks, and people.
If it is like they're legit business, like they really do this for real, there's usually a content calendar.
I mean,
that's like, this yes. is what the video's gonna be. Yes. And you gonna do this. Girl. And then I'm gonna say this. And yes. then that's gonna be like, when Kevin and I were doing those videos, literally, that's what I would do. Oh, you know what would be funny? And then you would do this, and then I'm gonna say this, and da da da. Okay. And then you're gonna zoom in, and then you're gonna do this. Okay, everybody, 1, 2, 3, break action. Like, it's literally
curated.
It's curated. It's yeah. fake. It's not real. It's and weird. I think the sooner we are able, you don't know like the inner workings of people's lives and the dynamic truly of people's lives. And so I just think, you know, we just have to be really careful about that. And literally I was like, let me not post this because I don't want people to project that onto yeah. us when really it was just a funny moment yes. between
oh my
us.
Yes.
And like, you could share it because I know it's relatable and that's what the hope is. I'm going to turn this up because I know it's funny and hopefully relatable.
Yeah.
But then people like assign that as like, oh, that's their character. Last thing I'm going to say, okay, we can move on, is I struggled a lot of times. I know I've shared this before, but I've struggled a lot of times with like finding my voice as in humor,
mm-hmm.
because I think I've always been presented the opposite.
Yeah.
And so even when I'm like trying to make a joke, I feel like people, I don't know what to do with this. Like, yes. I don't know if you're being serious. And it's like, I'm literally yes. being funny. So you can laugh. It's okay. I laugh at myself all the time. It's okay. It's going to be okay. But like, because I'm presented as very serious and like all of the time, they don't allow you to be like a 360 yeah, degree no. person. And the same thing actually happens with Kev. It's like, oh, you know, Kev is so funny. Ha ha ha. All you do is laugh in the house all the time. My husband is a businessman.
Yeah.
You know, he's not in the house making jokes all of the time. He's sitting down and like, let me tell you about this dream that I have. And this is kind of what I want to do for this year. And what do you think about this? And I saw this comedian. And what do you think about that? Like, he's sitting down and like is orchestrating a business, you know?
Yeah.
And I think people don't allow you to see,
you know,
the 360 of who you are.
What is so interesting, and maybe it's just because it's social media and it's influencers, because in most, what am I trying to say? In, let's talk about a movie, right? In a movie, when things are scripted and people are acting, and the hope for everyone involved in that movie is that the audience, the people who are consuming that content, is that they take it just as it is, and that you aren't really hoping or looking or thinking about these people as 360 and like, what's the next movie that this person is going to yeah. play in, because they want you so invested and in belief that this character that this actor or actress is playing is truly them. They yeah. want you to buy into that. And so that when I think about that as compared to social media, it makes sense that people are applying that same kind of mentality, I think, to social media. If this is how you're presenting and this is who you are, this is all I'm taking you as, and I've never had to do the work of like remembering yeah. that you're a person
yeah.
because I'm just invested in who you are in this moment that you're presenting to yeah. me. You know what I'm saying? And so it is as regular people, it's like, y'all, we are people.
Yeah.
But the way people have been trained when it comes to content is to not remember that they are people. You yeah, know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's almost like it's because it's a different and new genre. It's like mm-hmm. people have to be kind of trained in a different way. But when you are the person whose content is being consumed, it just comes across as weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say that.
Because,
anyway.
Because I think we forget that content, like people literally have content calendars. Like yeah. they're deciding yeah, yeah. what they
Absolutely.
Want to show.
Absolutely.
They're deciding what they're going to do. These things are like actual literal decisions. And if my character is grumpy husband, then I lock into grumpy husband. Yeah, yeah. Even though maybe right before I was like, oh, you know what I can do is say this, or what I can do is do this, or I'm just going to sit here then and do that. Like half the time I'm invested or they're invested or whatever the case may be, but like that's not the character that I've created online. And mm-hmm. so that's what I have to continue to do. But people then decide that that's like who you are. And oftentimes it's not. Yeah, oftentimes yeah. it's true. Not. There could be a kernel of truth. Like maybe, you know, even for me, like I don't necessarily want to do social media all of the time, but when I don't want to do it, I don't do it.
Yeah.
I just don't. I just be like, you know what? I don't want to do this today. I don't want to be in your vlog. Please don't show me. And Kat be like, okay, cool. And then I don't be on camera because I know my energy is not that, you know? And I don't have the like turn on personality. But when I'm on camera and I decide I want to be grumpy, I've decided I'm in character. Yeah, yeah. And like, I've decided I'm going to be on camera. It's when I don't want to be on camera that I'm actually grumpy. Y'all don't want to see that because that's not fun. That's not relatable. That's not funny. That's Melissa don't want to be here.
Awkward. It's like, yeah, you know when you're around people who don't, and you're like,
all right, I have an attitude. My hormones are messed up. I don't know what happened. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I actually just want to leave. Y'all don't nobody want to see that. That's not fun. That's not funny. But if I come on camera, like, first of all, I'm Ludio.
Yeah.
I've just decided we're going to have fun today, you know? Yeah. And I think people have to understand that. All right. Anyway, that's not for y'all, but that is for some people. You know, I think for the most part, people do get it. It's just that when stuff happens, you know, the divorce or the whatever, people be like, I saw it coming from a mile away. How?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's so annoying.
You don't live within a mile of it.
You ain't catch your husband cheating from a mile away. Why you all up in my business? I'm just kidding.
See, I would never say that.
Yeah, but that's like that's what most people should be hearing. Most honestly, for real, the people who have been all up trying to—it's because she was always in a zebra suit. Well, what's the reason your husband cheated? You weren't in a zebra suit. At least she has that excuse. What's your excuse, honey? You don't have one.
Can you cue up the pop the trunk? Because why would you say that?
I want to talk TV. Wait.
Oh, you want to talk
Wait
TV?
Wait a minute.
Okay, go.
Because a lot of TV has happened.
Traitors is back.
Michael Rapaport, get him out of here.
Immediately.
Michael Rapaport is here.
Did you see the video of him getting snow thrown at his face?
No.
That sounds like cinema.
Oh my goodness gracious. I said, why? People haven't liked this man in a long time, okay? He was on Michael Rapaport Snowball.
Old crap,
which is cancel culture. I'm gonna send it to you, Joshua.
He said, shut up.
People do not like this man. And I understand.
He is so easy to hate. What a terrible human. He is so annoying. Everything about him is annoying. Oh my gosh. I'm so curious how long he's going to stay.
I want to hate watch him. I understand that. But I feel like I would be like, I think you're the traitor. I just feel like you're the traitor. Can we all agree?
Yeah.
He's the traitor. Just to get him out.
100%.
Like, just get him out. He's so annoying.
He's so annoying. But who's even more annoying is Portia. Because, girl, what the hell?
I'm not going to lie, though. I thought she was a traitor.
I did not. But what's so upsetting is, like, we are missing out on
good, grade
amazing, A. Mm-hmm. grade A television. Because Portia got sent home on the first episode. It's way too early. She has to come back. There's so much TV quotes, clips, memes that we were going to get.
We need more housewives.
And that, like, what a mistake. Yeah. I'm so upset. I hate her. I'm so mad at her for leaving.
Yeah. I don't feel like she was doing.
Did she watch the seasons before?
That's what I feel like.
She didn't. Like, they just hit her up and she was like, I'm free.
I don't feel like she knew what she was doing, and she was making so many mistakes. And to me, it was two things. I was like, girl, maybe you are the traitor. Like, I don't know. Why are you acting like this? I thought she was the secret traitor, to be clear. Okay. I thought she was a secret traitor. I was like, well, maybe she is, you know, the secret traitor, because like, why are you keep messing, slipping up like this? It was like stupid stuff. Like, why are you doing this? And she didn't even have like a good, like, I'm just assuming. I watched all the previous seasons, and they always have. So I just assume, girl, you got to go.
Yes.
But I was mad about it. I'm not going to lie.
Very. I had no idea that, first of all, they said Mama Kelsey, and I was like, what? I didn't know Mama Kelsey is Travis's Kelsey's mama.
I mean, not a clue.
I didn't know that their last name only had one E at the end. I thought Kelsey just sounds like it should have two E's. Let me say that.
They kept calling that woman mama. What? America's mom?
She is not America's mom. I didn't even know her.
Literally.
Who's mom?
I almost put in threads. Is it two? This is what they mean when they say there's two different Americas.
Yes.
Because who is her child? Who is this woman? I didn't know who she was until Kevin said, no. One of the other people said, I didn't want the Swifties after me. And I said,
I don't even know if I tapped in.
The Swiftie. Yes. Negro, your son is dating the George. Man. What's the little girl? The Taylor Swift. Travis Kelsey, that's your...
Did people already know her?
Apparently the children of America's
because
mom.
Because I understand, like, I'm trying to understand why she got on the show. But if people already, like, people in the world, that's not me.
Are they fascinated with her?
I don't think so. I just think it's because who she is that she got on the show.
Okay. That's what it was given, but
what
I didn't know.
What sprung her into the spotlight? I mean, obviously
she's... It feels
she's
like she was bored and her sons made a call. Like, they were like, yes. My mom loves this show. Can she please get on? That's how it feels to me. But I don't know if people are like, we're already into
her. I don't know her, history. Yeah, I don't know.
It was weird for me.
I am going to say that I was so excited for the secret traitor.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. I thought it was such a cool spin.
But it got out so early.
I was pissed. I was so looking forward to actually playing along and being like trying to figure out who's the secret traitor. How are they going to do it?
Yes.
Child, they said Mama Kelsey. She was like, it's me, and was gone.
I was like, already? Portia, now you?
Oh, I was so mad.
What's the point of this?
Yeah, I was very upset. I was like, dang, I really love that they didn't tell us. Yes. I was like so excited for this throughout. But then they also were like, if y'all finish this challenge, y'all could reunite. I also thought y'all did that too soon.
Yeah.
I feel like it should have went on a little bit longer so we can play along. So that pissed me off. Okay, anyone else you want to talk about on there?
We talked about Michael Child. Let me tell y'all what. The last episode of the three, so three premiered.
Yes. Which I love. People are saying they hate it. I think you need about three episodes to get the show good.
It's like the mix of appointment TV plus binge watching. Yeah. It's like combined. Yeah. I'm kind of here for it. Listen, this last episode, there was a man whose name I can't remember now. I want to say Johnny. Okay, so what happens is they're in the woods and they're partnered up, if you're unfamiliar. What happens?
Johnny where?
Johnny. They're in the woods and they're partnered up. One partner is in a cage. The other partner has to go through like... woods and lake and find 10 skulls.
Yeah.
Yes. And then stack these 10 skulls on top of each other while the person is in the cage. And if you put them in the stack before the time is up, the person in the cage gets out. Now you and your partner are safe. If you don't do that, then your partner is on the chopping block. Everybody is succeeding with finding the 10 skulls, and some of them are succeeding in even stacking these skulls. Now, Johnny, who was his partner in the cage?
Somebody that's going to get eliminated. Okay. I don't even remember.
So there's this man named Johnny. I think he's like an Olympian.
Yeah, he's an Olympic figure skater.
He's an Olympic figure skater. This man spins. If they had 2 hours, he was out there looking for them 10 skulls. And just and the guy in the cage was stressed out. He's not back yet, everybody. Oh, so Johnny's still not back. Is he over there? Johnny was taking his sweet time. I don't know what he was doing. When the buzzer goes off, he gonna come over there like, got it. You should shut up.
The man said, the time is out. He said, oh, it is.
It was so funny to watch. I was like laughing out loud because this is silly.
My problem, they're saying it was Eric was in the cage. Okay, is the problem. They got to decide who was in the cage and who was going to do the excursion part. Why would you have Johnny?
Nothing about Johnny gives.
Put that man in the cage. You go out and save his life.
Yes.
Because nothing about Johnny says, I'm in good hands.
Johnny wants
to be
floating on ice, spinning around. He does not want to be finding skulls, and he did not find them skulls.
That was a great time. I will say this. Love Island Rob. I didn't.
Oh, I like him.
Me too.
I like him on here.
I don't think I liked him. I don't remember. I don't think I liked him on. Actually, I think I felt like this about him.
He did say, well, shit.
Yeah, he did. Okay. He did. He was like, you know, más o menos on Love Island. On this here, Traitors,
yes.
He is so, I really,
yes.
really like him. I'm going to tell you what, though. Candace is finna get kicked out.
I know.
She I don't think she's going to last long. She talks too much.
She Why is she talking? She did that dumbass Macarena or direct. What did she do?
She did some
samba.
The samba dance the around. Yeah.
I said, girl, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I was pissed off.
Me too. She was lucky that they kicked out the guy who was like, I feel like this yes. is a murder in plain sight.
Yeah, yeah.
Because had he not got yeah. kicked out,
she, would
she out was on her way out.
100%.
But wasn't there three people in the room?
Yes.
The other person who was in the room when he said, I feel like this is a murder in plain sight, it was Candace,
mm-hmm.
the guy who said it, and Congo, it was someone yeah. else, the Congo. Who was the other person?
Oh, I don't remember.
I'm waiting for them to be like, hey, you guys, before he was kicked out, he said, and Candace did the little situation. I'm kind of thinking
oh.
maybe she's a traitor oh. because he, even though she, Candace didn't have anything to do with him being gone because Lisa and Love Island Rob decided on
yeah.
it. It just worked out that way in her favor, but it could make her look guilty
yeah, yeah.
because the guy doesn't obviously know who the other two traitors are and what was done. It could just look like it was Candace.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm waiting for her to get kicked out because I think she's doing too much. I think she's trying too hard and she's doing too much.
I agree. It's pissing me off.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it though. It seems like a good
Yeah, I like this cast. You realize too. How I hate
it. Oh, people are saying Mark the dancer.
That's who was
the
in
other
there?
Person.
Okay.
Mark Ballas? Maybe that was the other person. So
okay.
we'll have to see.
I am waiting for them to say, I was in the room, and he's gone. He's the one who said, I think there was a murder in plain sight. Like, I'm waiting for that to happen. Yeah, she's way too off. She's on my nervous system, to be honest with you.
Oh, but don't they usually get the opportunity to turn somebody into a traitor yeah. later on?
Yeah.
So maybe I'll be curious to see who they, if they get to that point, who they'll be able to yeah. turn into a traitor.
Do you think the traitors are going to win this season? Let's make our predictions.
No. Wait, it's can't. Oh, I think Rob could
I
go.
I do too.
I think Rob could go.
I do too.
I think he's good.
I think he's good.
Yeah.
I it will be interesting to see how the dynamics play out, obviously, over the course of the season. But I do have high hopes
yeah.
for Rob, Love Island Rob. I really do. I think he has a really good chance of going all the way. What do you think, Joshua?
I think he could do it.
Yeah.
Rob.
He has that look in his eye of like, I don't want to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's playing really smartly.
He
he's
is.
Playing.
He's like low key.
Yes.
Chill. He also has people. What happened? He almost got kicked off or something happened that made him.
When he had to do the thing.
Yeah.
When he had to get the cards.
The murder out. I mean, when they were doing the murder in plain sight, he had to get the card outside of the little secret compartment.
Oh, it was
the secret compartment.
Remember, it was like in a little wall. And yeah,
oh,
it was
yeah,
like in
yeah,
a little
yeah, yeah,
medicine
yeah, yeah.
cabinet.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Maybe. I don't remember now.
Oh.
But yes.
Well, the other thing I thought was good that he played off really well. And I, well, a couple things. Number one, the fact that he immediately clocked in that Candace is doing the Congo. Mm-hmm. This is my time.
Yes.
And they didn't talk about
yeah.
it. Super, like, you good. Better go.
Tap in.
Then when he was like, Candace, you doing too much, but I'm gonna let you do it because you're my covering my distraction. He sat down with Lisa and said, do you want to play chess?
Yeah, he did. He did.
I think
did.
That the queen.
Yeah. But then that person came over there and sat and they
I
were
know.
Like, I was like, oh,
I know.
Word,
I know. I was trying to figure out
here?
What. Yeah. I was like, huh. I thought he was doing things. And then he would just made a decision, burn it and walked off.
Yeah.
Candace came around the corner and was like, who do we kill?
The whole thing without her. That
girl,
was so funny.
Go Congo somewhere.
Go Congo, honey.
And leave me
Congo,
alone.
Congo.
Yeah. I thought I really like that he's taking charge. He's going undercover. He's playing very smartly. It'll be interesting once again, once people start dying off and then they start zoning in, how is he going to do in the boardroom? But for now, I like him.
Yeah,
I do. I
do
like
too.
Him. Salt Lake City.
Wait, before we do that, let me tell you about the last sponsor of this podcast episode. And that is Cure Hydration. I recently just had this conversation with Melissa, actually, because I was in urgent care and these people did a, they tested me and they were like, you are so dehydrated. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, at this wedding. And I was like, I am. And so as I was telling Melissa about it and she was talking about the ways to, how did you word it? Like, pump up
boost
the hydration. And so whether you're drinking water, not drinking enough water, or just need the boost in the hydration that, you know, you can get from more than just drinking water, Cure Hydration could be a great option for you. It's a plant-based hydrating electrolyte drink mix with no added sugar, a natural, delicious, and convenient way to keep you hydrated without the artificial stuff, which is important. So they are... they have refreshing flavors like watermelon, berry pomegranate, and lemonade. And it's never too sweet or artificial. And they're perfect for workouts, travel, which is what I was doing from this wedding. Whether it's just, you know, in the mornings you need something, or you're just looking for a way to make water taste better for you, this is a great option. So I, obviously with this amazing sponsorship for this episode, I am committing to using it in the morning. So to just make sure that I'm getting kind of all of that I need in the morning times for me. But like I said, you can add it to any kind of routine that you have, any way that kind of makes sense for you. But that's the way I'm going to kind of be implementing it.
It's real important, Mel. You're 40. How old am I?
42? Almost, girl. 38.
42. 40. Okay, 38. You heard me do it three times. It is so important. That is one of my promises to myself this year already, is to continue my track of like my health, because I am getting obviously older, which is, and I've also decided, I mean, it's always fun to make fun of like getting older, but it's such a blessing to get older. But I want to make sure that I'm doing it in a way where I can enjoy getting older and it doesn't feel like a burden because my body's breaking down, you know? And part of that, in addition to like going to your doctor and all of these things, is to like consider your insides, which is why I was like harping on you about eating. And like, you work hard and you're doing all of these things. You need to ensure, whether that's Hunger Root, who was a sponsor earlier, or whatever, but also ensuring that you're hydrating.
You know
what I mean? Like, you need, because these things, I was telling Kev this too, like sometimes I think I'm so tired because I'm not, food is fuel. And when you're tired and you're, it's because you're not fueling your body. And so I'm trying to be more conscious about and intentional about ensuring that I'm fueling my body to do the things that I really want to do. So I can't keep my promises to myself. All of that to say, yes, you need, you get on these planes and you don't want to use the bathroom. So you're not drinking. You're sitting in front of a laptop all day. You're researching this. You're doing all of these things. It's really, really easy to go like all day you know, anything, without drinking. And before you know it, it's a week have gone, has gone by, you know, 10 days have gone by, or you're like, oh, I'm thirsty. You take a literal actual sip and that's it.
And so whether, like I was
saying, take care of yourself.
So whether, like I'm saying, it's for your mornings or maybe the afternoon slump, which we all are familiar with, you can implement it in whatever way kind of makes sense. And I've never been a coffee drinker. That's just never been my jam. I'm not an energy drink person. Also never, it's too much for me. But Cure Hydration is like a great, like balance is what I need and what can help kind of to what she's saying, fuel me, keep me hydrated, give me the electrolytes, give me the things that I need. So I can stay hydrated and do the things that I need. So staying hydrated isn't just about water. You also need electrolytes, which is what Melissa was just telling me. That's why I love Cure. It's clean and tastes great. You can grab Cure on Amazon or find a store near you at curehydration.com/GJ. Real ingredients, real hydration. So join me on the journey of staying hydrated with more than just water so that you and I aren't getting yelled at by Melissa. All right.
It's out of love. Okay. Yes. I am... And again, I've said this before, and I think it's really just the perimenopausal part of my life that's making me realize, number one, that I am getting older, but also you start to like recognize your mortality.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. the when you are young, it's not a thought in your mind, which I think causes you to be really, like, reckless. But as you get older and people die off, and it's not like, oh, you know, this old person died, that makes sense. Like, I can compartmentalize that. It's like your friends and your family and people that you went to high school with. These are your peers. You start realizing, like, oh, like, this isn't a guarantee. Like, tomorrow is literally not promised. It's just not a phrase. It's literally not promised. And so I want to make sure that I'm being, like, really responsible, I think, in, like, honoring the body that I have. And that does include, you know, nutrition and eating right and drinking and like, not on some, like, you know, like, shaming people about their weight, but truly about, like, I just want to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Related, but also not.
And alcohol is a dehydration, dehydrator. And so is coffee. And so you're not hydrating your body by, like, sipping on those things. You're actually doing the exact opposite. Okay, I'm done.
Nobody is drinking alcohol to be hydrated. They're drinking it for a good time. Moving on. to maybe an appropriate transition, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because everybody on there is saying Meredith is an alcoholic or an addict. They are making a lot of claims against this woman. And I've been watching this season like, did I miss something? I didn't know. What are the people watching? Do y'all feel like she's on something? Did I miss it?
Okay, I wrote this down. Let me tell you what I actually think. I wrote down my actual literal thoughts. I think Meredith is either an egotistical liar, master manipulator at worst.
Okay.
Or she is absolutely a pill popper alcoholic who blanks out and can't remember anything.
I feel like it's her character. Speaking of characters, I feel like she's all in on the character of this show. And she's like, that never happened. So I think it's comedy.
I went down the rabbit hole on TikTok a little bit. They are saying the plane incident ended up being, like, a big deal in real life.
Really?
Yes.
That's how they're acting, though. Everybody else is acting like that except her and Lisa.
Yes.
Lisa's like, what? It's so funny.
They're literally saying that, like, it ended, like, to the point, there's a couple, like, theories, okay? This is all on TikTok. I don't know what's true or not, because I kind of low-key just watch the show and move on about my life. But then sometimes my FYP is like, it's here. And I'm like, yeah, I'll watch it. They're saying that they thought at one point Meredith was either suspended or on the verge of getting fired.
From the show because of the airplane.
Because of the plane incident.
They weren't even there. Where was the cameras?
I know, I'm mad about that too.
Shoot!
They said that there was something else, I think, that happened where they thought Meredith was going to get suspended or fired. They think that Heather, who else was gunning for Meredith this episode? Heather and
Whitney.
They think they are gunning for her
to
get fired.
Really?
Yes. It does
seem like Heather's over it.
It does, right? Yeah. Because they were kind of like kumbayaing after the playwright read them for.
Oh my gosh, that was so hilariously awkward. Imagine this, like, beautiful play, Greek show with these colors. And then you hate her. It's like, wait, what?
It was, the thing about it is that it was almost like being in, like, a therapy session.
Yes.
Where, you know, you're with your friends or whatever, and the therapist is like, okay, so we're going to have a really hard conversation because I'm going to tell you, like, exactly what's wrong with you and what your friends see about you. But it was on national television.
Yes.
Like, I don't want to hear, you know, you disguise concern as a way to spread gossip. Girl, what
you care about
are so materialistic.
Yes, that's Lisa. Oh,
and underneath it all is nothing.
Nothing. She was like,
are extremely hurtful, like, vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like, you are seeing through me.
Yeah.
I don't edit that part out.
Yeah, it's not okay. Context, because of people, a couple people have asked. So on Salt Lake, they had went on a trip, the cast.
Greece.
Before Greece, it was, I'm talking about the plane.
Oh.
They went on a trip, and on the way back from the trip, the one woman who is so annoying, all she does is whine and be with men who don't want her.
Oh, Brittany.
Brittany, Jesus. And they won't let that girl
she
and
need
her
to go.
Kids go. It's so annoying. They are, anyway. On the plane.
The playwright was like, can you put men before your kids?
I know, it's so rude. They keep telling her that. So on this plane ride, none of the cameras are rolling, but apparently they just like berate this girl, Meredith and Lisa, but Meredith specifically like berate Brittany the entire plane ride, to the point she's like in tears and slumped down and people are looking and watching. And everybody has been telling Meredith that she was like wrong for what she did and it was completely out of pocket. And Meredith is like, what are y'all talking about?
Literally.
It lasted for 10 minutes and then I was watching a movie and I fell asleep and you were on the other side of the plane, so you missed the whole thing. So what are you talking about? Like, she is acting like it did not happen. And every other cast member is like, you were insane. And it's concerning that you don't remember. And she's like,
which is why I'm like, are you like so prideful that you're refusing to apologize? Therefore it never happened. Or like, you literally blanked out and you don't remember. Like, I don't know where she falls.
Yeah.
But like, I'm going to assume something happened.
Something happened. Yeah.
The fact that she's not even willing to, it's just odd.
It's very odd.
And that's the part where I'm like,
something.
Yeah. That's where I'm like, something's going on. The other thing about Meredith is that, or not Meredith, I should say the show itself, it centers so heavily on this friendship dynamic.
Yeah.
I'm kind of over it.
I am too, actually. I am. You know what the truth is? They need Monica or they need Jen Shaw. They need something back, because without them, all they talk about is how much they love hate each other. But you need somebody who's going to offer a different dynamic.
Yeah.
Who's going to spice it up in a new way. And I'm ready for the spice. I'm ready for it.
Yeah. I think that they are. I personally am tired of the storyline, because at the end of the day, there's only so many trips that you can take. And at the end of every season, like, we need to work on our friendship.
Yeah.
Like, there's only so much I can take. You guys don't like each other. It's totally fine. Let's live in that truth.
Yeah.
And then move accordingly, instead of like trying to force this friendship dynamic amongst the group that, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah. So I'm over that.
Other thing quickly before we move on from Salt Lake, Melissa and I went to go watch a few people have DM'd me about the Mary Cosby documentary. We actually saw it, in December before it came out. We watched it. And my truth is, I was sitting in there underwhelmed. I said, this is all y'all got. Y'all just decided to make a whole documentary, three, four parts about this. That it was, it felt like a nothing burger.
It felt like a nothing burger.
Sorry, I'm not bought into the whole. The biggest tea was her and what we all know, her and Robert, the senior. Tell us
and the walkout
story
of the church
and the church walkout with the mama and the tell us that y'all focused on the cult. Yeah, what? Yeah, that's no. Tell us about learning how she was beforehand. And I want that, not about this cult. So don't DM me that no more, because I watched it and I know nothing burger. Nothing to see here.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I told Mel this in real time. I was like, I feel like they did it too fast.
Yes.
So it's like they're still searching for the there, but right now it's feeling like really there's nothing there. That's not to say, to be clear, that's not to say that I don't believe that Mary isn't manipulating some of her members.
Sure.
I believe that she has probably used some tactics to get money out of these members. And I think they alleged sexual relations with one of the guys, the guy that died.
The one who died.
Yeah. So those things may absolutely be true. Actually, I'm not disputing that those may be true, but I think the word like cult leader holds a lot of weight. It wasn't really given that to me. It was given, you know, she got some wrong. She'd be doing some stuff. I personally have never truly been a fan of Mary, for some of these reasons, but like cult leader, I just felt like y'all was trying to hurry up and make something happen. And it was a nothing burger.
Yeah.
It was a nothing burger, but that tea about her mama and that little walkout, and they had video footage.
And they had video. I'm like, where was this? Y'all are worried about the wrong thing. Who is in the rooms?
Yeah, that was the good part. The last thing I'm going to say about Mary that I thought was hilarious, when she was at the end of that little, the grease after the walkout or whatever happened, and she was talking to Bronwyn.
I love Mary. I'm sorry.
You have been a good friend to Meredith. You have been loyal. Look how you stood next to...
Wait, she said, look how you stood next to...
What's her husband's name?
Oh, yeah, to... Oh.
Todd.
She said you
are a great friend. You have loyalty.
Yes.
Look how you stand next to Todd.
That was funny.
I would have punched her.
She'd be so rude.
I would have punched her. Because now you're being funny.
Absolutely.
You're not... You're being funny.
She was.
Mary. You're Mary. Being funny. And that...
She'd be
funny. Why would you say that?
Yes. That was funny. Let me move to, before we go to his and hers quick, actually, so I got two things. I told you I had TV.
Okay.
Did you watch that Palm Beach members only show on Netflix?
I didn't even hear about this.
It is.
What is it about?
It is.
Oh.
It's like a utopia, like you're stuck into. It's terrible.
I hate it.
Only in Palm Beach?
It's members only Palm Beach.
Oh. Oh, it's a TV series.
It's a reality TV show. It's like Netflix. Yeah, it's like Netflix was trying to do Real Housewives of Palm Beach or something, right? Like that's how you go in feeling. However, it's basically a bunch of very wealthy, as it seems, women.
Or from wealth.
You don't really know whose entire life goal is to like go to Mar-a-Lago. Like, it's so annoying. They wear the ugly... Then they have the nerve to be so judgmental about, like, other people's clothing because, like, the look in Palm Beach is ugly. It's, like, frills. It's flow. It's flowers. It's, like, stupid. And so the one new girl, she's a young girl who has money, and she is, like, sexy. She out here trying to wear skimpy clothes, and they're just like, ugh. You don't have frills. You don't wear your flowers. It is so annoying. All they talk about is if they have current memberships at Mar-a-Lago. Like literally, that's the whole point. It is infuriating. I hated the whole thing. I hate watch the whole thing. I don't recommend, but also like if you're like me, watch it and just be pissed. It is so annoying.
Oh, I didn't even hear then
they're
about
like,
it.
They're like, she's the queen of Palm Beach and she's handing over the reign.
Over the top.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe I'll watch it.
You're going to be annoyed. You'll get the point quickly. It is so, the entire season is nothing. It's like, this was it. This was the point.
I didn't get through probably two episodes.
It's so bad.
Oh, Joshua said he didn't get through two
Netflix
episodes.
Netflix has done reality well, like reality TV shows. Like we've seen them do it well. This was terrible. It feels like them trying to do a Housewives, but Housewives is so something that has yet to be duplicated. And it was, oh my gosh, it's upsetting. What made me watch it is, you guys know me, I watch anything that is reality. It doesn't matter what if it's reality, I'm going to give it a try. That's what happened. So I needed to say that. I also need to say that I randomly was promoted Sister Wives again. So I watched
I watched the
most recent episode.
I watched.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
I didn't watch the reunion. I don't even know if it's come out.
Reunion.
Aren't they doing a reunion?
I don't know.
I watched. Okay, let me tell you what I watched. I watched his conversation with Mary. I watched his conversation. Yes. I watched all the conversations.
That's all I want to talk about. Okay, it's so funny.
Okay.
So if you've been out, because I've been out, I think you have. Maybe you have.
In and
Cody,
out.
Cody, right? So everybody's monogamous at this point, right?
Yeah.
But Cody has this like moment, this realization where he feels like he needs to apologize so that the women can be set free.
Yes. Yes.
Literally, I feel like I need to do this so that they can be free to move on.
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my. So he has these conversations. The first conversation was with the Janelle.
That was great.
Because she's dumb. Because she's just like, oh, Cody.
Yeah.
No. Everybody else is like, boy, I've been over you. And he's like, no, just let me apologize so that you can move on. And they're like, we've moved on. And he's like, no, I really need to tell you this. It's so awkward to see. Is he described as a narcissist?
Absolutely.
It's watching it. I was like, this must be narcissism. I think I see it. This is the first time clocked it.
Yes.
Because it is. He has made, it's odd.
Yes, it was odd, especially when he was having the conversation with Christine, because she is quite literally married.
And she's here with her husband!
Yes, and it was like, why do you think I need
your permission
and apology in order to move on?
I'm married!
When I've literally moved on. And Mary was like, sir, I don't know what to do with this.
Mary was so funny.
She was combative.
She was very combative.
Yeah, she was like.
She hates him or something.
Yeah, oh, no, she deep-rooted, seated hate. Yeah. Just, I don't understand why you're here. Well, I want to apologize. For what?
For what?
Are you apologizing to me? Oh, you are apologizing to me. Why do you think I need the apology? Yeah. It was like, girl, let him get the apology so y'all can move on. But she was not here for it.
Not letting him speak. Yeah. And it was, oh, I got so much joy because it's like he was made to look a fool and he didn't even realize that he looked as dumb as he did.
He feels like he's being the bigger person. And yes. I hate people like that. Where he's like, clearly I need to have energy with you. Mary was like, last time I saw you, you didn't talk to me. You didn't do this, da, da, da. And he comes in and he's just like, I am sorry for that.
Yes.
I'm sorry I don't get your humor. I am so, don't be a butt wipe.
No.
You don't act like all of this, because then it feels gaslighty.
Yes.
Like all of the energy that you have for me, I'm unsure where all of this come from. I've simply come to apologize. Yes. And I want to say that I'm so sorry. And I hope that this allows you to move on. Don't come at me like you're the bigger person.
No. Right,
don't come at me like you've had some epiphany and God has talked to you and you've come in to release me from the shackles that was once our relationship. I have moved on.
Yes.
You're not the bigger person. You're an a-hole and I'll never forget what you've done and I'm ready to move on.
Yes. So funny. Yeah. I enjoyed all of their responses except Janelle's. Janelle was the perfect one to start off with because she 100%. Was just so like calm and it felt like it gave him like confidence that like, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. And all the other wives were like, boy.
Yeah. They weren't here for it. Yeah.
And then Christine's husband was like, you need to be doing this with your kids.
Yes.
I don't know why
he didn't want to hear that.
He did not want to hear that. No. And they were like, you have children that you have not spoken to.
Yeah.
I don't know why you think there's any air to be cleared here. The air is with your children, Cody.
Yeah.
He's like, don't tell me about my kids.
Yeah.
Very funny. Okay. Last one is his and hers. I don't think you watched it.
No. But I want to.
Okay.
Everyone said it's
everybody
good.
Is talking about it on Netflix. It's a not reality. It's a limited series. And Greg guessed the ending on episode 3. So
have you watched it, Joshua?
His and Hers?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh. Okay. Greg was, he clocked in very early.
Is it a murder mystery? What is it?
It is.
I know it's based on a book though.
Yeah. Somebody dies. And so they're trying to figure out who killed this person.
So it's like a whodunit.
Yeah. But then like more people end up dying. And so it's like who is doing these killings. And there's like
all, he's a serial killer. They're serial killer.
And there's all these connections between everybody in this small town.
Okay.
It's in like Dahlonega actually in Georgia, which is hilarious. I got my hair done there once. But anyway.
I'm getting a bob on Thursday, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Fancy. We'll see how long it lasts.
So anyway, it's only like, I think it's 6 episodes. I think it's limited, like I said. But yeah, watch it. And I'd be curious when you guys figure out the answer.
I will, I'll try to tap in actually sometime this week. I did start watching The Pit.
Oh yeah. People have been talking about that.
Yeah. And so what actually happened was people were talking about it. And then on Threads, one of the writers is a black woman.
Oh.
And so I was like, this sold me, like the fact that there's a black woman, I'm going to start watching. It's really good. I do enjoy it. But I just want to say this though. Noah Wiles, I think is his name. He's the main guy in the show. He won the Golden Globe for best actor in a drama series against Sterling K. Brown.
Oh really? For that show on Hulu?
Paradise.
Oh.
Notwithstanding, I think is the way to say this, the writing of the show, because shout out to that black woman. I think the writing on the show is phenomenal. The Pit.
Okay.
The acting, because he won this for acting, the best actor. Sterling K. Brown deserved that award. I think if it was about the show, if it was about the writing, you know, maybe there's a conversation to be had. Although I think the writing in Paradise is phenomenal, but that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is he won Best Actor.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm not there yet. I'm only on episode like 8 of the first season.
And you're not there yet?
I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, Chaz. No. Of The Pit. I think that...
But when does it get better if not by episode 8?
Well, that's what I mean. I'm talking about the acting.
That me too.
Okay. I'm not saying he's a bad actor.
Sure.
I just think that Sterling K. Brown...
Did a great job.
He's doing a phenomenal job on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
I was so surprised. I'm trying to say this in the most humble way possible because clearly I am no actor. Okay? I'm just visually watching. And I'm just like... What emotion are we pulling?
Oh.
What dynamics in this ER type, you know, hospital show is he giving us?
Oh, it's a hospital show?
Yes. Oh. Like, I don't feel like there, it's like a multifaceted character that has to like show these different sides and act and do this in 1 minute. He's just in the hospital.
Okay.
And he's dealing with these people and then he's dealing with his staff. And again, I actually think the show is great, but like, I just feel like when you turn on Paradise, like Sterling K. Brown is acting and like he's pulling from these different, and I just feel like I was confused.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say. I think that I Love the Pit, but no one was out. I just think that if you're going acting for acting on these shows, no one is touching what Sterling K. Brown is doing on Paradise. Acting wise. I'm so sorry. I just knew Sterling K. Brown was going to take that. I just knew he was going to take it. I said, The Pit, the show I just started watching.
Oh.
That's the show that won? That's crazy.
It's a lot of people dying in that show.
Girl.
I'm not watching. Never mind. Don't even. No, I'm not. I'm out.
Let me tell you. They got this episode. This spoiler alert if you're going to watch it. They got this episode where the mother-in-law was watching her grandchildren. And one of the kids got in the pool.
Oh.
And then the older sister, who also was 7. Jumped in a pool to save and died.
Both of them or just the older one? No,
just the older one.
Oh, see, I'm out.
Melanie.
That's terrible. Pools and kids. Get them out of here.
I said.
Get them out of here.
I cannot take this.
Yeah, no.
Ludio too, like in actuality. I said, this is too much.
That's no.
Then they had another episode where the dad died and the kids didn't want to let him go. And Noah said, and again, it really wasn't even like he was giving the acting performance, but he was just like, you know, your daddy gonna die. And so when folk die, which also seems to be something going on that someone in his life died, they haven't really given all the details of it. But regardless, he said, you should say, I love you. I'm sorry. Or no, I love you. I forgive you. No, I love you. Thank you. I forgive you. Forgive me. As a way to like release this person as they're dying. And it was the most, I said, I need to remember this, but also this is a lot. Oh my God. And they were sitting there like saying their I love yous and thank yous. I said, Lord have mercy. But again, I think, but to me, that's the writing of the show. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I think they do a really good job, actually, the phenomenal job, actually, of the writing of the show. But like, it's just whatever. Anyway, I really do enjoy it. I just was really surprised. I mean, I was literally like, this feels like an upset. This literally feels like an upset. I feel like Paradise was a phenomenal show. I think it did everything it needed to do in the first season. And the fact that, Sterling K. Brown didn't win, I thought was just highway robbery. Mm-hmm. Highway robbery. And that's why Kev did that video today. He was talking about the nuance of what it means to be like, what these award shows means and the fact that Sinners didn't win. I don't even remember who won over. I fell asleep, child. But I got kind of irritated after Sterling didn't win, after Sinners didn't win. I did see Tayana win. Obviously, I was happy for her.
Yeah.
But like, I was still, I was like, oh, we're about to sweep this season, you know, or this award show. And then it didn't happen. I was like, oh, okay, well, I can go to sleep now, child. I'm kind of over it.
Yeah.
Sterling can act down, but Noah killed it. I think I disagree, but that's okay. Because it don't matter. I'm not in charge of the giving out the awards. Anything else you want to say?
That's it.
All right. Thank you guys so much for this very long episode. We will see you guys next week. We'll see y'all next week. All right. Bye.
Bye.